The daf for today is Kuf Aleph 101. We're on the last line of Kuf Amud Beis. And the Gemara has just established that if you're in a boat and the boat has the status of Rishus HaYachid and you want to throw overboard your wastewater, which would be taking an object from Rishus HaYachid and putting it down on a karmelis, because the sea has the status of a karmelis, and that you're not allowed to do. What they allowed you to do was something called kocho. Kocho means that instead of taking this pail of wastewater and throwing it directly into the water, you pour it on the side of the boat and the water drips down from the side of the boat. That's called kocho. And we're up to Minah Temra, which is the last line on Kuf Amud Beis. From whence do I derive this conclusion that with regard to causing something to go into a karmelis from a Rishus HaYachid, I could roll it down the side, and that's called kocho. Desanya, we learned in a brisa, sfina. If a person owns a boat which has the status of Rishus HaYachid, ein metaltalin, lo mitocho liyam, v'lo miniyam litocha. You're not allowed to take an object from the sea into the boat, or the other way around, because that means you're taking something from a Rishus HaYachid into a karmelis, or vice versa. Now we'll start the daf for today, Kuf Aleph, Omer Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amuka Asara, V'ein Gavo Asara, Metaltel mitocha liyam, avalo minayam litocha. Rabbi Yehuda addresses the case of a ship, and the ship has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid on the inside. So let's say I'm sitting inside the ship, and what I'll see is that the walls of the ship that surround me are 10 tefachim high. Even though the ship itself is submerged into the seawater, which would mean that from the surface of the seawater till the top of the ship there may be less than 10 tefachim, but nevertheless, since on the inside I am surrounded by 10 tefachim height of walls, those are mechitos, and if the width of the ship is 4 tefachim, then I have a Rishus HaYachid. And Rabbi Yehuda makes the following distinction. If I want to take something from the ship and get it into the sea, that I'm allowed to do. That's permissible. But I'm not permitted to take something from the sea and throw it into the ship. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Maishno, what's the difference? Min hayom litocha delo, going from the sea into the boat is prohibited. And the reason for that is the kometaltalin mi karmelis lishus hayochid. He's taking something from a karmelis, the sea is a karmelis, and he's bringing it into a Rishus HaYachid, that's prohibited. Is mitocha liyom nami. It should be equally prohibited to take something from the ship and throw it into the sea. That too would be taking something from a Rishus HaYachid into a karmelis. Kometaltu Rishus HaYachid karmelis. So how do we reconcile this distinction that Rabbi Yehuda is postulating? El Olav, unless we introduce Achudah. Achudah means when he pours something not directly from the ship into the sea, but onto the the outer wall of the ship, such that the water now drips down the side of the ship and lands in the sea. Shema Amino, we see from this a new halachic principle limiting the prohibition, which was rabbinic in its enactment of Karmelis, that kocho b'karmelis lo gozru, that when they made this enactment prohibiting Karmelis, they did not include kocho, only when he directly takes something into a Karmelis. But if he sets it up in such a way that the object will, so to speak, fall into a Karmelis by rolling down the side of the ship in our case, lo gozru, that wasn't included in the enactment and the prohibition of Karmel, Shema Minah. Okay. Now we're going on to our discussion of boats, ships, but in this case we're going to talk about a very small boat. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Bitsasa, that comes from the city of Meshan, and this is, Bitsasa is a very small ship that comes to a sort of spit, a triangular spitz on the bottom. So on the bottom it gets very narrow. Is ein metaltelin behem ela bi'arba. If you're carrying something inside the ship from one side to the other, you're only allowed to take it up to, but not equal to, 4 amos. Which means that this ship has the status of Carmelis. It is not a Rishus HaYochid. Until now, we've been assuming that the status of a ship is that of Rishus HaYochid. And the reason for that is because the ship has the dimensions, the machitzos, of Rishus HaYochid. The walls on the sides of the ship climb up 10 tefachim. But here's a case where, although on top of the ship you're at a height of 10 tefachim, and at that point you have a width of 4 tefachim, but as you move down towards the bottom of the ship, and the ship now becomes thinner on the bottom, that's this Bitsasa ship, what happens is, when you get towards the bottom of the 10 tefachim, there's no longer a width of 4 tefachim. Now, if you have mechitzos that do not surround an area of 4 tefachim wide, those aren't considered mechitzos. So in our case, although we have mechitzos on top, because the distance between one side of the boat and the other is 4 tefachim, but when we get to the bottom of the 10 tefachim, towards the bottom of the boat, we no longer have the walls of the boat surrounding an area that's 4 tefachim wide, because the boat gets narrow. It's like a canoe. And therefore, the status of the boat is equivalent to that of a Carmelis. And you're not allowed to carry inside a Carmelis, mirabanan, up, unless you carry it up to 4 amos, but not 4 amos. So you have a canoe that's quite long. It's got 4 amos of length, and you have one person who's at the head of the canoe, another at the back of the canoe, front back, and one person wants to throw an object to the other. Or let's say I'm standing at one side of the canoe, I want to carry an object to the other side of the canoe. If there's more than 4 amos between, I cannot do that. And the reason for that, says Rav Huna, is because the status of the canoe is equal to that of a Carmelis. Now Tosus has a major problem here. He doesn't understand why this is a Carmelis, although it's true that it's not a Rishus HaYochid according to Rav Kahana, because because the mechitzos get narrow on the bottom, and therefore they lose their status, their validity as mechitzos, because it's now less than 4 tefachim wide on the bottom. But nevertheless, that doesn't make it a Carmelis. A Carmelis has to have the width of 4 tefachim minimum. And we don't have that. So we're not exactly sure how this Bitsasa is a Carmelis. Tosis actually reinterprets Bitsasa. And he says that Bitsasa is a special kind of a boat, the floor of which is kind of made of slats going crisscross, like weaving, but there's open space between the slats such that the water actually comes into the boat. And this is the way they used to go fishing and so forth. But be that as it may, the boat now has the status of water, of the sea. It's part of the sea, and that makes it into a Carmelis. The Loa Moron, when did I say that this small boat is a Carmelis? Ella She'ein Bepochos Mishlosha Arba. That when I go deep down to the bottom of the boat, and I'm within 3 tefachim of the bottom of the boat, and there's no 4 tefachim, I don't have the width of 4 tefachim. And therefore, these mechitzos on the sides of the boat are no longer mechitzos, because when we get to the bottom of the boat, it's less than 4 tefachim wide. V'im alinu kani v'urvenei leslan. But however, if we fill up the bottom of the boat with different objects, let's say reeds and willow branches, then it's considered that the bottom of the boat goes all the way up to the top of these reeds and willow branches. And there, at that point, we have already a width of 4 tefachim. That's fine, because anything that's filled in sort of brings the bottom all the way up. The floor goes, rises, so to speak. Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Now, to learn this Gemara, it's very important, if you have pen and paper, to write down the names. You know, normally you can learn through Gemara and survive it if you don't know who said what, but here, it's very worthwhile to write down that Rav Nachman is going to ask a question on Rav Huna. So your first name on the list is Rav Huna, who says that this small boat that comes to a narrow bottom is not a Rishus HaYochid, but rather a Carmelist. That's Rav Huna. And then we have Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is going to be the antagonist who's going to raise an objection against Rav Huna. And as you go through this Gemara, we'll add to this list, you know, different names. So what's Rav Nachman's problem? V'lema, why don't we apply the principle of God Achis Mechitzta? Now, God Achis Mechitzta is one of these super-duper legal halachas that apply to mechitzas, one of these principles that allows you to take a mechitza, which is on top, and imagine as if it went down. Achis means to go down. And what we can do is, we can imagine as if these walls, which have a valid status of mechitzas up on top, go all the way to the bottom. Milo Tanya, I'm going to prove to you that we rely on this principle from a braisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Naatz Kana. He takes a pole and he digs it into the ground, Birshus HaRab, in the middle of a public area. Uberosho, on its top, Traskal. He's got a basket on top. The basket is a very large basket. It has the width of 4 tefachim. And it has sides to it. Those sides now become a mechitza. But obviously, if they're standing on a pole, they don't come all the way down to the bottom. So what we do is, we apply the principle of go to achis mechitza. And we imagine as if these mechitzos went all the way to the bottom. Therefore, zorak v'noch al gabov chayef. If a person is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and he throws something, and it lands in the Traskal, he's chayav, because the Traskal has the status of Rishus HaYochid, based on the principle of God Achis Mechitzta. Alma we see, Amrina we apply the principle of God Achis Mechitzta. Hachinami, here too, in the case of this canoe, this small boat, Nema we should say God Achis Mechitzta. And since on the top of the boat, you have a width of 4 tefachim, you now have mechitzas on the top of the boat, and we're going to extend those mechitzos in an imaginary way, based on this principle, go to Achis, which is halacha l'moshe misinai, all the way down to 10 tefachim. Okay, so now we have Rav Huna, his antagonist is Rav Nachman, and now we have Rav Yosef, if you're writing a little note here. So Rav Yosef is going to object to Rav Nachman's objection. He's going to try to disprove this principle of God Achis Mechitzta, and he's going to now defend Rav Huna. Maskif lo Rav Yosef, how could you, Rav Nachman, assume, based on Traskal, that is a principle of God Achis Mechitzta, lo Shamil, lo, he asks him rhetorically, have you not heard Loha de Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, Umatule, some say, Ibishum Rabbi Chia goes back to Rabbi Chia, Vitoni Ale, that in this Braisa that we just quoted, and you yourself, Rav Nachman, quoted the Braisa, but we have an addendum to the Braisa that says, Chachomim Potrim, that even though Rabbi Yossi says Yochayev, because the Traskal has the status of Rishus HaYochid, the Chachomim rejected it. And let's assume the Chachomim rejected it because they are not on board with this principle of Godachis Mechitza, that we have this basket that's hanging on a pole, and we're going to imagine that the Mechitzas go all the way down to the bottom. Now we're next to the next level. Amale Abaye. Abaye is going to refute Rav Yosef, and therefore defend Rav Nachman, who is arguing against Rav Huna. Amalei Abaye, Abaye turns to Rav Yosef, and he says the following, V'atlo Tizbra, you don't accept the principle of Godachis Mechitzta? How can you possibly say such a thing? V'asanya, we have a brisa that tells us, Amud b'shusaram gavasara. If you have, now we're not talking about a pole, a thin pole, we're talking about like a pillar. And a pillar has a certain, not only height to it, like a pole, but it also has width to it. V'rachav arba. So it's got 10 tvachim in height, 4 tvachim in width. And so far, this is a classic Rishus HaYochid, otherwise known as a tail, right? Tof Lamed. It's got the height of 10 tvachim, the width of 4 tvachim. But the problem with this pillar is that it gets narrow on the bottom. It's exactly similar to this Biyat Sosov, this small boat. The Ein Be'ikra Arba, when we go down to the bottom of this pillar, we'll find that it triangles in to some extent, and it doesn't reach the width on the bottom of 4 tefachim. The Yesh Be'katsar Shalosh Shlosha, so in its narrow part, it reaches 3 tefachim, we need a width of 4 tefachim. So that here we have again a situation where the mechitzos of this pillar, if you go up on top, are mechitzos, they're valid mechitzos, because they surround an area of 4 tefachim. But when you get to the bottom, the mechitzos no longer encompass an area that's 4 tefachim. Now he only has 3 tefachim because they come to a spitz. Now he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, he throws something that lands on top of the pillar. V'zorek v'nochal gabov. Chayav. So we have a brisa that definitely reflects the principle that we said before of Godachis Mechitza, meaning that even though the Mechitzos on the bottom are no longer valid Mechitzos, and that's because they don't surround an area that's 4 tefachim wide, but nevertheless, since the Mechitzos on top are valid, because on top it has 4 tefachim in width, we imagine the Mechitzos to go straight down. Alma Amrina, we see Godachis Mechitza. Is therefore in your case of the canoe, going back to Rav Nachman's objection against Rav Huna, Hachanami Godach is Mechitzta. So we should take the top walls of the canoe, which surround an area of 4 tefachim, and we should extend those mechitzos all the way down to the bottom, exactly as we do in this brisa, in the case of the amud, in the case of the pillar. So the Gemara says that midei iria is a phrase to reject a proof. In other words, you brought a proof, Abaye, and now you, Abaye, have to go a step further if you want to actually convince us that you're correct. And he says the following. Midei Iria, you know what? I'm not sure that you have a valid analogy. Why? Hasam havile mechitza shagidim bokim ba. Hacha havile mechitza she'en hagidim bokim ba. He says the following. That your analogy, Abaye, between the case of the Amud that comes to a narrow ending on the bottom and the case of the Traskal, and you want to say that just like in the case of Traskal, we have imaginary mechitzas coming down, so too I'll prove it to you from the case of the Amud, where we have imaginary mechitzas coming down, Godachis Mechitzta. The Gemara says that those are two separate cases. They cannot be compared. Why? In the case of the Traskal, we have a principle called Gideon Bokimbo. which means that a mechitza is meant to separate an area, enclose it, and protect it, so to speak. It gives it, shall we say, privacy when you enclose an area. That's the nature of mechitzos in Rishus HaYochid. We have a counter principle which undoes the status of a mechitza called Gidim Bokimbo, which literally means the small goats will break through. You've got a pole that's holding on to a basket on top of Traskal. All you have down below is airspace. You want to create an imaginary mechitza. Yeah, but imaginary mechitza has to have some substance to it. You know, you got to start with something, and the minimum that you have to start with is Ein Gidim Bokimbo, meaning that you can see the mechitza as a barrier enclosing the area so that the Gidim can't come through. That's not true in the case of Traskal. Therefore, the Chachamim in Traskal will say that the Traskal, the basket up on top, does not have the status of Rishus HaYochid because it's Gidim Bokimbo. Not so in the case which Abai quotes in a Braisa, where you have an amud. An amud is a pillar. It's got thickness, it's got width, and even though it gets a little bit narrow on the bottom, but still, Ein Gidim Bokimbo. The Gidim don't have enough room to really break through. Let's say, for example, the width on the bottom is 3 tefachim. So you have 3 tefachim of width, which is a thick stone, and the Gidim can't break through. That's where we're going to take and apply the principle of Godachis Mechitzta. So we need 2 conditions to validate these Mechitzas. Number one, up on top, they have to be valid Mechitzos, which means they reach the height of 10 Tefachim and they surround the width of 4 Tefachim. And on the bottom, it's Ein Gidim Bokimbo. There's enough of a barrier, of a blockage, so that Gidim can't go through. Says Abaye, let's go back to Rav Huna's model. His model was a canoe. Well, a canoe on the bottom is submerged in the water. There are no Gidim around, there are no goats that are going to break through. Hence, we can apply the principle of God Achis Mechitzta. Hacha, Havile Mechitza She'ena Gidim Bokimba. So, for example, in the case of the Amud, which gets a little thinner on the bottom, it's Ein Gidim Bokimba, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of God Achis Mechitzta. And therefore, if you apply that logic, says Abaye, to the case of Rav Huna, as we said, the small boat, which has on top mechitzos, we're going to take those mechitzos and we're going to extend them all the way down below, even though on the bottom it comes to a narrow ending and it doesn't have 4 tefachim, it doesn't matter. We're going to apply the principle of Godachis Mechitza to imagine the mechitzos down, extend them, and there's no Gidim Bokimbo. Therefore, Abaye defends Rav Nachman against Rav Kahana. And at this point, we would paskin against Rav Kahana, Rav Huna. I keep saying Rav Kahana, I mean Rav Huna. We would paskin against Rav Huna because we would say that even in these small boats, we're going to apply the principle of Godachis Mechitza. And therefore, we have mechitzos that make the canoe into Rishus HaYochid, and he's allowed to pass it 4 amos inside the canoe. And now we have both Rav Nachman and Abaye against Rav Huna and Rav Yosef. Amalei Rav Acha, Bereid Rav Acha, Rav Ashi, Gabi Svina Nami Ika. You're telling me that the goats, the small kids, will not break through these mechitzos of the canoe on the bottom. But what about the fish? After all, the canoe is submerged in water. And you want to create a mechitza that's imaginary and goes straight down to the 4 tefachim width. Well, the 4 tefachim width on the bottom of the boat is outside the boat in the water. Ha'ika b'kias dogim. The fish are going right through that area. And they're going to break down the status of the mechitza. So Gemara answers, b'kias dogim lo shmei b'kia. That fish are not something that we see, right? They're invisible, so to speak, meaning they're below the water. And that doesn't kick in to the laws of mechitzos. When the Torah designs the laws of mechitzos, it only considers those kinds of creatures that we can see. Like, for example, Gideon. And therefore the Gediyim create a problem for the status of the Mechitza when they go through this imaginary Mechitza. But in the case of Dogim, which are not Nikar La'ayin, we can't see them, we don't apply a principle of Dogim Bokimbo. And again, this defends Abaye, who in turn defends Rav Nachman against Rav Huna, so that you could carry in the canoe, and the canoe has the status of a Rishus HaYochid. By the way, even though we're being Mekil now against Rav Huna, with a leniency that it will allow you to carry within the canoe even for Amos, but there is a great Chumra over here, because according to this Gemara of Rav Nachman / Abaye, if I'm standing in the sea, or swimming in the sea, and I throw something into this canoe, I'm going to be chaya, because now the canoe has been upgraded to the status of Rishus HaYochid based on two assumptions. Number one, Godachas Mechitzta, and number two, Ein Bekias Dogim Bokimbo. Uminot Temra, can you give me a source, a basis for your principle that Dogim are not like Gediyim, and they don't break up a Mechitza? The boy mine Rav Tavla mi Rav. I'm going to go back to Rav in order to prove to you that Bekias Dogim is not called Bekia, based on Rav's response to Rav Tavla. Rav Tavla asked Rav the following question: Mechitza tluya maushe tatir bechurva. Now we have a Mechitza tluya. A Mechitza Tluya means exactly what we've been discussing until now, and that is that you have Mechitza that's on top, a valid Mechitza, it's a real solid partition, but it's hanging in air. Back in the day, and even today you might see it, you have ruins, R-U-I-N, a ruin, otherwise known as a churva, will sometimes, after it's burnt out or whatever, will still have walls, but the walls are broken on the bottom, so they're only solid on top. And now what you have is what's called a Mechitza Tluya. You have a Mechitza which is suspended in air, because on the bottom it's open air. And Rav responded, Amar Leih, told Rav Tavla, Ein Mechitza Tluya Materes. That's not a valid Mechitza because it's open on the side. Keep in mind, when I say it's open on the side, that means a minimum of 3 tefachim is airspace on the bottom. And you have now Gediyim Bokimbo, because since it's suspended in midair, the goats are going to break through and get inside. So you have no way that you can see or define this partition as enclosing and guaranteeing the privacy of an area. Now on the top of Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. Now Rav says there is one case where I will allow and validate a Mechitza Tluya, Ela B'mayim. In other words, if let's say you're in a boat and you want to be able to draw water from the sea into the boat, the water is fresh water for drinking. So that what we allow you to do, even though the water itself is a karmelis, and how can you draw water from a karmelis into a boat, which is a rishus hayachid, what we're going to allow you to do is, if you remember this, we was discussed yesterday, on the side of the boat, you can create a kind of a rectangular structure made out of wood, let's say 4 pieces of wood, that has a width of 4 tefachim. And now you can put your pail inside, you know, holding on to your pail, put it inside the four mechitzos, meaning the four sides of this little rectangle that you created, and you can draw water up. That's a mechitza tluya. You don't have a mechitza that encloses this area of four tefachim. What you have is an imaginary mechitza, purely based on Godachis Mechitzta. And Kalhu Sheikilu Chachomim B'mayim, meaning that even though the Rabbanon are not always excited about a Mechitza Tluya, an imaginary Mechitza, but nevertheless, they'll allow it for the sake of Mayim, meaning that this ship might have who knows how many sailors on it. We have to find a way that we can get the water and drink the water on the ship. So we're going to allow you to rely on a mechitza tluya in the case of Mayim. But keep in mind, Rabbosai, that this mechitza is a valid mechitza based on Godachas mechitza. If it's not, then you've got a serious problem of a caramelist. You can't possibly draw water from a caramelist and take it into Rishus HaYochid. So Rav Ashi says, Vamai, how are the Chachomim able to be more lenient and relaxed about the case of Mayim? Based on what? On Godachas Mechitzta, Ha'ika B'kiyas Dogim. The whole area is imaginary, this whole Mechitza, and therefore down in the bottom there are Dogim that are going through. Ella, Shmami, no, we must derive the conclusion, B'kiyas Dogim, Lo Shmei B'kiya. So here I have a proof that fish are not considered like goats, and they don't break up an imaginary barrier. And we go back to the principle of Godachas Mechitzta, and therefore the final maskana of this Gemara seems to be that in the case of the canoe that comes to a spitz on the bottom, and the bottom of the Mechitzta is invalid because it doesn't encompass an area of 4 tefachim. Nevertheless, we're going to apply the principle of Godachas. We're going to imagine the extension of the mechitzos of the sides of the canoe going down all the way to the bottom, even though there are fish that break through that imaginary mechitz. The Mishnah tells us, Sfinos Kshuros, if you have two boats that are tied together, and let's assume both boats are owned by one individual, then you're allowed to carry from one boat to the other. So Gemara says, Peshitta, why did I need the Mishnah? We know as a general principle that if you own two houses, one near each other, and they're both Rishus HaYochid, you can carry and extend your hand to take something from one house to the other. Omar Rav Lo Nitzucha Lahatir Bitas Shebeinehem. Between the two ships, which are of substantial size, he's got a very small boat, which is, by the way, it says Bitzias, but it's the same as the Bitzias that we learned earlier on Omen Aleph. And this boat is wedged, this small little canoe, between the two larger boats. And in that case, the two larger boats are not really connected. They may have some connection, but in between them, there's this little boat. Now, this boat drifts from one side to the other. And at one point, it may expose an area that is 4 tefachim wide of sea, which would mean that he's going on, you know, at the area between the two big boats is a caramelist. And therefore, what I need the Mishnah to tell me is that I don't have to worry about the possibility that this small boat might drift away and open up a caramelist between the two boats. I can rely on the fact that the two ships are sort of, you know, squeezing this smaller ship between them, and it doesn't, the existence of the small boat between the two larger boats is not what we call a mafkia. It's not, it doesn't wedge or undermine the kesher, the knots that he tied between the two larger boats. So the two larger boats are still considered as if they're connected, and we don't assume they will get disconnected. Okay. Omale, Rav Safra turns to Rava, and he says Moshe. Interesting. Rava's name was Rava, not Moshe. But believe it or not, if you call someone Moshe back in the Gemara, that's a great honor. It means you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you could have given us the Torah. That's how great you are, Rava. Now, very often in the Gemara, and this is true for all of life, when you give someone a compliment, it's just a way of setting them up for a smash, you know, so that Rav Safra is about to slug up Rava, so he calls him Moshe, you know, meaning with all due respect, but Shapir Kamrit, are you telling us the right thing? Metaltel Mizu Lizutna. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to carry from one to the other. There's no third boat here. With all due respect, Rava, the Mishnah is addressing a case where there are two boats, Mizu Lizu. How do you have the audacity, so to speak, to tell me that there's a third boat in between the two boats? Ella Marav Safra, no. I'm going to reinterpret the Mishnah. Lo Nitzercha Ella Li Arev Uletaltel Mizolizu. The Mishnah is telling me a case where the two boats and there are only two boats according to Rav Safra, are owned by two different people. So Reuven owns one, Shimon owns the other. Now, when you have two Rishus HaYachids that are owned by two different people, what you need is what's called an Eruv Chatzeros. And without an Eruv, you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to the other simply because they're owned by two different owners. And the Mishnah wants to tell us, according to Rav Safra's understanding of the Mishnah, that in a case where two ships are owned by two different people, then we have the law of Eruv. We can set up an Eruv Chatzeros, which will allow us to hand Reuven to Shimon an object back and forth from one boat to the other, and vice versa. And the Gemara is now telling us a case where, although you need an Eruv, you would have thought that maybe an Eruv only works when you have something that's rooted in its place. You have an Eruv Chatzeros, which is a courtyard. You have Eruv Batim, two houses can make an Eruv one from the other. But those are areas or domains that are situated in a permanent basis where they are. What about something that's mobile? By its very nature, it's a motorboat or a ship that moves across the sea. Can you make an Eruv with two ships? That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. That even though the ships are considered mobile, nevertheless they can be joined by an Eruv. Ukedesanya, Rav Safra supports his approach with a Braisa. Sfinos kshuros zo bazo. You have two boats that are tied together. Ma'arvin umetaltalin mizo lazo. That if you want to carry from one to the other, you can make an Eruv. So you see that this Bryce is addressing a case where there are two owners, respectively two ships. Hence, we need an Eruv between one Rishus HaYochid and the other. And in the case of Sfinos, despite the fact that they're mobile, we still require and can validate an Eruv Chatzeros. Now, all this is because we view the two boats as at least on a temporary basis, as being stationary. And the two chatzeros that border one on the other. So, for example, if your chatzer borders on my chatzer, we can make an Eruv chatzeros. What makes these two boats two contiguous chatzeros on a relatively permanent basis? It's because they are tied one to the other. Correct? And again, the language of the Braisa is kshuros zubazu. The Braisa continues over nifsiku, if the knot on the rope that connects these two boats has been untied, and therefore the two boats now could literally float in different directions on the water, nesru, then you have been mafkia, you have now undermined the validity of the Eruv. Chazru v'nikshu. Oh. This is a very interesting sugya. I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but somehow, on Shabbos itself, they retied the knots that connected two boats. Lama Zogin, it was done b'shogeg. You know, somebody forgot it was Shabbos, he's a sailor, or he doesn't know the laws, and he retied the knots. Now, what you have here is an Eruv that was originally valid. When we went into Shabbos, the two boats were connected to each other, tied to each other. Somewhere in the middle of Shabbos, they got untied, and the Eruv is no longer valid. Then, an hour later, let's say, they became tied again. And we can recreate the Eruv. Chazu leteran harishon. It's almost as if the original status of the Eruv as a valid Eruv, when we entered into Shabbos, is engraved in stone. We can cover it over temporarily because the kesher was loosened, but if we retie the kesher, again, I'm not advocating doing so, but if it happened, then take off that separation, that covering, and now you have the original Eruv that was sort of behind the scenes. V'chein, machtzolos haprusos l'rshus harabu, ma'arvin umetaltalin zu mizu. A similar case is where you have machtzolos. Machtzolos are mats, M-A-T-S, which, if they are structured vertically, as we discussed yesterday in the case of the bar, if you remember, they now set up a mechitza that separates between two parts of the Rishus HaRabim. So you've got a part of the Rishus HaRabim that's on one side of the mat, this vertical mat, that serves as a partition, and you have a second part of the of this domain on the other side of this mat. And we can make an Eruv that joins one side to the other. Now, we're going to assume that now, because of these mechitzos, if you have, let's say, private ownership of Reuven on one side of the mat and of Shimon on the other side of the mat, then we can create an Erev in between them. Niglalu. The thing about mats is, as you know, they roll. Right, let's say we use mats on our sukkah, right? So when we want to take them down, we roll them. So these mats, in the middle of Shabbos, got rolled up. Well, once they're rolled up, they no longer have the status of a mechitza. Nesru. Now we no longer can carry from one side to the other because we need an Erev, and we don't have a valid possibility of an Erev. But chazu v'nifreshu, if once again they loosened this rolled up mat and now it hangs down, is bein b'shogeg, bein mezidim, bein anusim, bein mutim, chazu leteren arishon. We can, so to speak, resurrect the Eruv and validate it as it was from the get-go, from when we started Shabbos. And it doesn't matter why they, or what was the mindset of the person who undoes this roll-up here, you know, and he loosens the roll so that the Machzelis now goes all the way down. He may have done it b'mezid, he was deliberate, because you're not allowed to take apart a mechitza on Shabbos. That's called meleches soser. You know that there are two melechas, is bona to create, and you're not allowed to create a mechitza on Shabbos. And then there's soser, which means taking apart a mechitza. So he's not allowed to roll up the mat, but if it got rolled up, then somebody went ahead and unrolled it. And now he's creating a mechitza on Shabbos, which he's not allowed to do. But nevertheless, I don't care whether he's mezid, shogeg, muta, whatever it was. In reality, at the end of the day, we have a mechitza. This mechitza now replaces the original mechitza. Now the original Erev is valid. Why? Shekol mechitza shenasa b'Shabbos, any mechitza that was created on Shabbos, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, shma mechitza, it's a valid mechitza. And therefore, once again, if we have a valid mechitza that separates these two parts of the Rishus HaRabim, and they're owned by two different private ownerships, then the Eruv that they set up for this Eruv Chatzeres is valid. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is this really true, that if you set up a mechitza on Shabbos, it's a valid mechitza? V'ha'omar Rav Nachman, we have a statement of Rav Nachman, lo shanu el lizrok, aval etaltel osur. Rav Nachman reinterpreted this brisa and limited it. And he said that the halacha of this brisa, which seems to validate a mechitza that was set up on Shabbos, that's only l'chumra, but not l'kula. Meaning, that mechitza is valid to create a Rishus HaYochid, so that if somebody's standing in Rishus HaRam and he throws something into this area, then the area is considered surrounded by mechitzos, and he's chayef fahotzah because it landed in Rishus HaYochid. That's l'chumra. However, l'taltel, if you want to carry from one side of the mechitza to the other side of the mechitza, also. And you see here that the mechitza is not valid because it was created on Shabbos. Again, it's valid l'chumra, but not l'kula. So how can you tell me that in the case of an Eruv, which relies on a mechitza, the mechitza was removed and now replaced on Shabbos, that the Eruv is valid and you're allowed to carry? Rav Nachman says, no, we're not going to validate this mechitza as far as the Erev is concerned, l'kula, to allow you to be metaltel from one side to the other. We're only going to validate it on a doraisa level with regard to the biblical law of hotzah. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman is not against the raisa. Why? Ki itmer de Rav Nachman amezid itmar. Rav Nachman was only referring to a case of mezid. He deliberately set up a mechitza on Shabbos, which, as we said before, is a violation of the iser boneh. He's creating a partition. And we're not going to allow him to get away with it and say, well, you know what? We're going to relax the Issa Tiltil, and we're going to allow you leniently to carry from one side to the other after you went ahead and deliberately violated Melechah Shabbos by creating a Mechitza. Now, the only problem is that if we go back to the Braisa itself says, Bein Shogigim, Bein Mezidim. So that's very odd, because the Braisa seems to explicitly address the case of Mezid, and yet it says, Chazru L'Teiran Arishon, and we go back to the original Eruv, and the Heter to carry from one side to the other. So the real question here is, and that's what the Rishonim try to do, is how to interpret the Braisa according to Rav Nachman. When Rav Nachman says, according to this interpretation, that in the case of Mezid, then the Mechitza could not serve as a valid Mechitza to allow carrying from one side to the other. So Bli Neder, again, depending upon how much time we have, I'd like to try to go back to this point and fill in that blank. Omar Shmuel. Now we go back to the Mishnah that says that if you have two ships that are tied together, then you're allowed to carry from one to the other. How tightly do these two ships have to be tied? Do I need a very thick rope? Omar Shmuel says, Afilu kshuros b'chut ha-sarbal, the string of a cloak. A cloak means a beged. So you take out a string of a beged, it's a thin thread, and that's enough to tie them down. Now again, we have to be very careful here. Basically, what Shmuel is telling me is that all we need is for a string to do the job, meaning to tie these two boats together. You could have a thin cord, and it will do the job, and it will tie these two boats together, and therefore you're allowed to carry from one boat to the other. Hechidami, I don't get it. Iyacholim lahamid. If you're talking about a rope or a cord, that although it's very thin, but it's strong enough to keep the boats together, even though they're floating on water, pshita. So what exactly did Shmuel teach me over here? Elowat, we're going to have to say that the ein yochol amidon, that although right now the two ships are tied together, but as soon as a wind stirs up the water and the water now pushes the boats, then it's not secure and the boats will separate. Now, if that didn't keep the case, Amai, why did Shmuel say that even such a thin cord is sufficient to make these two boats into one contiguous Rishus HaYachid, one continuous Rishus HaYachid? Li'olam di'acholim lahamidon. In truth, we're talking about a cord which definitely has the strength and it will secure these two boats together. Oh, but if you'll ask me, so why did Shmuel have to make this comment? Obviously, if the cord is strong enough to keep the boats together, and there's no gzeiros hakosev that, you know, the rope has to be a tefach wide or thick, you know, why would I think otherwise if the cords are sufficient? So the answer is, Ushmuel lafuke midenafshe ka'asi. Shmuel comes to exclude another statement that he himself made. And what did Shmuel say? Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah in Olos. And this Nan, we have a Mishnah that says the following. What you have is a ship, and the ship is tied with a cord to an ohel ames, where there's a corpse inside an ohel. And the question is, do we consider a chibur, a connection here, between the ship and the ohel, such that since the corpse is inside the ohel, it will now convey tumah to the ship, and anything or anybody on the ship will become tameh? So the Mishnah says it depends. When this cord ties down the ship to an ohel, how tightly is it tied down? Kshara, if he ties it b'davar amida, something that will secure it so that the ship, even though it maybe drifts a little bit, but it'll still retain its connection and it's tied down to the ohel, is mevi la tuma. Then the corpse inside the ohel will convey tuma to the ship. Bedavrisha ein ma'amida. But if you have something that's not going to be secure, and with the passage of time, the ship will sort of float away until it finally frees itself from the connecting cord to the ohel, then ein mevi la satuma, and now we're going to assume that the ship remains tahar. V'yomar Shmuel. Shmuel says, when the Mishnah says that mevi satuma, when it's kshura, what does kshura mean? How tough and how tight is it connected? B'kshura b'shalsheles shel barzel. That he has a metal, an iron chain, and that chain is what's chaining down the boat to this ohel. By the way, when you think of an ohel, we think classically of a tent. I mean, an ohel could be a major structure. And it has to be tied down, says Shmuel, with sharsheres shel barzel. So now, let's see the two cases. In Tuma Vitara, Shmuel says, in order to convey the Tuma from the ohel to the ship, we need a kesher, which is called Sharsheres Shel Barzel. It's made of iron. With regard to the two ships, so whether you're allowed to carry from one to the other, you only need to tie them down, says Shmuel, with a cord. You don't need a Sharsheres Shel Barzel. So the Gemara answers, there's no contradiction. Shmuel, by telling us that the cord that connects the two ships and allows you to carry from one to the other is a sarbal, it's as thin as a threads, but again, it's a powerful cord. He's coming lafuke tuma vitara to tell you that the laws of Shabbos, in contrast to the laws of tuma vitara. Why? Le'inyan tumahu dechsiv. There's a separate halach in tuma. This is the exception to the rule, rather than the rule. Bechalal cherev. The Torah in the Parashas Chukas, we'll get to very soon, discusses a sword. And if the sword nevach is inside the body of the corpse, then it has the din of avi avos hatumah. It's like the corpse itself. And that's called cherev hareyu kechalal. So we see that cherev, which is made of iron, it's made of metal, has a special status in terms of its ability to convey tumah. It's upgraded to the status of avi avos hatumah, which means that somebody who comes in contact with this sword becomes an avatuma, who could be metame odav kelim. That's how severe it is. And therefore, anything that connects to an ohel, and therefore the ohel sort of, expands and extends its tuma status over to something that's connected to the ohel, like, for example, something that's connected to a corpse is a cherev, and that transfers and transmits the status of the corpse over to the cherev, that's through metal. And here too, anything that is connected to the ohel, such that the ohel now expands and conveys its tumah, has to be connected to the ohel with sharsheres shel barzel, with something that metallic. Avol inyan Shabbos, but when we talk about Shabbos, and all we need is to make sure that these two boats are securely fastened and connected one to the other, we don't have this pasuk that points out, well, you need iron, you need metal. It's kemen diyochel amida, as long as you have a rope, a cord, a thread, whatever it might be, but it's durable enough and strong enough to keep the two ships from going one for the other. Kemen diyochel amida is therefore afilu bechuta sarbol, even if it's only as thin as a chuta sarbol, nevertheless, it's considered a valid connection between the two ships, and it will permit carrying from one ship to the other. So let me just go back to Rav Nachman, who says, amazed itmar, which means that Rav Nachman makes the following distinction. If you set up a mechitz on Shabbos, is that mechitz valid? It depends whether you did so deliberately or inadvertently. And the question that we're asking is, the Bryce itself says explicitly, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. So I'm reading to you a note over here. He says the following. Bein mezidim, that quote from the Bryce, Eino inyan shechazu l'teira rishon. It doesn't mean that in the case of Mazid, it goes back to revalidate the Eruv. He says, Hula inyam asher shaninu b'seifa shemechitza shenaseis b'mezid shma mechitza shezelo shayach b'sfinos. So in other words, the Brisa, if you recall, had a Resha and a Seifa. In the Resha, we spoke about Sfinos. And the Seifa, we spoke about a Mechitza that was set up on Shabbos, and it has the status of a Mechitza. So that which it says, Bein Mezidim, that's referring to the Seifa, not to Sfinos. As far as Sfinos is concerned, to allow carrying from one Sfina to the other, Rav Nachman has already told us, that's only if he sets up the Kesher Bishogig, but not B'mezid. But when the Brisa says Beim Mezidim, that's referring to the Sefer, the Zeh Klal, which offered us a Klal, that a Mechitza that was set up on Shabbos, Shma Mechitza, it has the validity of Mechitza, even if he put it up in Mezid. And what does that mean? That means that if you carry from Rosh Hashanah into this area, which had a Mechitza that was set up on Shabbos itself, Beim Mezid, you're Chayav. Because the Torah does validate that mechitza. As far as the drabanan of carrying from one svina to the other is concerned, here we'll accept a kesher, even though that kesher was created on Shabbos. Vizelo Shabbos svino, shanidon behemu le'inyon, kshirasan b'Shabbos. Vasvinos, shenikshu b'mezid, lo kansu, mutal taltel zu mizu, kevin she'ikar ha'malocha nasis. Shenaseis beisur mashak shira matir v'tiltol v'kevin shemina Torah mutol etaltol benasfinos is therefore gam below kshira nimtza shikshiraso lo hitira tiltol v'lachein lo kansu ella shalol etaltol. Okay, so this is a long presentation here. The Sfasemis, we just got a little bit of a tip of the iceberg. Okay, then, so I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great day, and Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish the perek and start the next perek. Okay. Thank you so much.